back. You're listening to Across the Border. We're in Hosea, chapter 13, verse 4. Yet I am Yahuwah. And, of course, in the Authorized King James Version, it says, Yet I am the Lord. But here it is the Tetragrammaton. It is His name. And if you mouse over that, you'll see that. And the signature in the Authorized King James Version is a lowercase T-H-E and an all uppercase L-O-R-D, in case you don't have the Strong's Concordance. You're not looking at the E-sword. You can recognize it without using the E-sword and seeing the Strong's numbers. Anywhere it has lowercase T-H-E connected and immediately followed by all uppercase L-O-R-D, that is the actual name of God in the received text, and it would be phonetically correctly pronounced, I believe, Yahuwah. So he says, Yet I, Yahuwah, thy God, from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. And, of course, the word for Savior there is Yahsha. So he says, There is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. And it makes me think, when he says, There is no Savior beside me, that means, to me, that means that his name, or the name of our Savior, and I was watching the movie, the guy's name that made the movie, Zeffirelli or something like that, I forget. Anyway, they, of course, they used the name Jesus, and they had, of course, the actors playing there, and they went into the temple to dedicate him on the eighth day, and, for the circumcision, the baby Jesus, and they brought him in, and of course, the parents have to give his name. And in the movie, of course, they said his name is Jesus. And I explained to my children there with me that they would never have said that in the temple, because that the name Jesus, of course, would be a foreign name and the name of a foreign god. If they had said that in the temple, they may have even been thrown out of the temple, maybe even carried to the edge of the city and stoned. Who knows, for calling their child after the name of a foreign god. That's how that would have been treated. No, they would have said his name is Yahushua, which means, and we have here the name of Yahuwah, and we have the word salvation or savior, which is Yasha. And of course, the name Yahushua means that Yahuwah is our salvation. That's what his name means. And when they say that he has the name above all names, it is because he had the name of the Creator. And the Creator is our salvation. And here he expresses that through Hosea to Israel, that he said, There is no Savior beside me, because he became a man. He was born and walked among us. He is our salvation. He said, I did not know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, according to their pasture. So they were fulfilled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard. By the way will I observe them. So he's saying, I've turned into your worst nightmare, basically. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and rend the call of their heart, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges, of whom thou saidest, Give me a king and princes. See, when they had judges, when they had God's government, the government of the people, by the people, for the people that our Creator gave them, they said, Give me a king and princes like the other nations. Thou saidest, in chapter 13 and verse 10, I gave thee a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom, and get a little clue here. Let's see. The first of these verses in summary, the contents, the rest, where we have all the blame of Israel's ruinness laid upon themselves, O Israel, thy perdition is thence. Let's see, I was looking for verse 13 of chapter 13. Let me scroll down. I wanted to get a clue here as to, he's got a lot to say about this. Okay, they are brought into trouble by and distressed by sin. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. They shall smart for sin. I'm reading from Henry here. And so be made sensible of it. They shall be thrown into pangs and agonies by it, very sharp and severe, and yet like the pangs of a woman labor, hopeful and promising, and in order to deliverance, and by these, though God corrects them, yet he designs their good. They are chastened that they may not be destroyed, but they are not by these forwarded as they ought to be towards repentance and reformation, which would cause their sorrows to issue in true joy. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long as he does in the place of the breaking forth of children, but being brought to the birth should struggle to get forth lest he be stifled and stillborn at the last, where the child and the mother is in travail, of capable of understanding his own case. We should reckon it an unwise child that would choose to stay long in the birth, for the captive exile hastens to be loosened, lest he die in the pit. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him, but he is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of breaking forth of the children. So the travail that comes upon them for their own sin, they are not made wise by it, but they stay long in that travail. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of Yahuwah shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all the pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. Sad words to think that this kind of judgment could come to the land where we would see this kind of atrocity. Should America be spared? Where are the righteous? Why don't they cry out? Why don't they separate themselves from the licentiousness and idolatry of remaining in bed with the state? Why do they look to the arms of flesh for their salvation? Oh, save us. Oh, yes, bail us out with your bottomless buckets, with your empty dollars of nothing. Bail us out, always looking and devouring the wind. But they won't turn. And look what's going to come. Oh, it's coming. It will come, eventually. Will come. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1. O Israel, return unto Yahuwah thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And yes, I don't hold much hope for America as a nation, but how about the church? How about those people who attend the corporate edifice? I see them falling further away. I see them now embracing Well, they've already embraced the idolatry of romance. They've already embraced the idolatry and the hatefulness of birth control. And of course, what follows that? Abortion. What follows that? Sodomy and being embraced in the churches. And as the days go by, I see more and more people, more and more of the so-called church embracing the idolatry of these things and the licentiousness. Oh yes, the law of God is dead, so we can embrace the licentiousness of government instead. And the government says, hey, it's okay. You can commit adultery. You don't have to go to prison for that. And if anyone tries to execute judgment for adultery, we'll throw them in prison. That's right. If anyone speaks out against sodomy, well, we'll put him in prison for that. We'll call it a hate crime, day by day, until we turn back to him. O Israel, return unto Yahuwah thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to Yahuwah. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. Is that your prayer? Father, cleanse me, separate me, write your law upon my heart that I might not sin against thee. Is that your prayer? Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. I got a few minutes here. Let's see what our good friend Henry has to say about chapter 14 of Hosea. The strain of this chapter differs from that of the foregoing chapters. Those were generally made up of the reproofs for sin and the threatenings of wrath. But this is made up of exhortations to repentance and promises of mercy. And with these, the prophet closes, for all the foregoing convictions and terrors he had spoken were designed to prepare and make way for these. He wounds that he may heal. The Spirit convinces that he may comfort. This chapter is a lesson for penitence, and some such were in Israel at this day, bad as things were. You know, I hope that can be said about me and the people that are listening to the broadcast and those that will hear the words of Hosea and what happened in Israel and Judah and apply them to what's happening today. Will we be penitent? This chapter is a lesson for the penitents. And some such were there were in Israel. Can we say, and some such there are in America at this day? Bad as things are, we have here, one, directions in repenting. What to do and what to say. Encouragements to repent taken from God's readiness to receive returning sinners. And comforts, and the comforts he has treasured up for them. Yes, even in a terrible day as we live in today, even as we see the beast, the second beast of Revelation, which rose up in the wilderness, having two horns like a lamb. Yes, that lamb-like beast. Why was it lamb-like? Oh, because it was founded upon principles that were very godly and holy. You shall love your neighbors yourself. How better could that be expressed than that all men are created equal? You shall love your neighbors yourself. If all men are created equal, then no one can lord over another man. That is such a godly principle. Isn't that what Yahshua, Jesus, said? He said, you shall not be like the other nations who lord it over one another, but the greatest among you shall be servant. The servants shall be the greatest. That's fairly lamb-like, isn't it? Oh yes, and the monetary system, you shall have only gold and silver shall be for payment of debts. Yes. Yeah, no funny money, no wind, no dollars of nothing. We had silver and gold. Every dollar was a just weight, a just measure. By law, still the laws are on the books. We have two monetary systems in America, but the one that people love is the dollars of nothing. That's the one they embrace. And someone speaks about the dollars, the real dollars, and they're thought of as kooks. All these lamb-like principles being abandoned, have been abandoned. Because people are looking to the irons of flesh and the benefits of man. They're looking to their heroes and their strong men for their benefits rather than to the God who made them. Directions and repenting. What to do and what to say. Encouragement to repent taken from God's readiness to receive returning sinners and the comforts He has treasured up for them. And the comforts He has treasured up for us is eternal life. This life is short, and you can't take anything with you, and everything that you may acquire in this life will perish with your mortality. But He has comforted us in that He sent His only Son to die in our place and to pay the price for our sins. And He verified this by raising Him up from the dead, not only Him, but many of the saints of old who testified. And then He gave us His Holy Spirit. He allows us to enter into His kingdom now and to sit in heavenly places. And we that are His, we have this. And those that don't know Him, they think we're fools. But they have not met the Creator face to face. If they met Him, if they would take the time, if they would but believe and say, yes, I will by faith take the step and I will walk with God. And they could see Him face to face, then they would know. But no, they love their unrighteousness, they love their sin and their idolatry too much to take that step. They're like Esau, who though he sought repentance bitterly, with tears even, found no place for it, because he could not leave off his idolatry. He could not leave off lusting after the things that were against the laws of the kingdom of God. Chapter 14. Take with you words and turn to Yahuwah and say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in these the fatherless findeth mercy. And what they're saying is, we're not going to look to horses and chariots. We're not going to look to the might. Because when the sword of the Lord comes, and we've discussed this, how the sword of the Lord is the unrighteous or the righteous nations coming against the evildoers, the nations of evildoers, to slay them. And to looking to the horses is the same thing as we're going to look to the might of our armies and our navies and our technologies and our tanks and our ships and our planes and our ICBMs and all of the military might that we have. No, we will not. Look, Asher will not save us. The other nations won't save us. Riding upon horses or our chariots and our tanks will not save us. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in these the fatherless findeth mercy. In turning away from these things, we find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and live forever. Cry out to Him and say, you are my King. Write your law upon my heart that I might not sin against you. All He desires for us is good. And all He desires to take away from us are the things that are destroying us. The things that will bring us eternal desolation. That's all He wants to remove from us. Don't fear it. Embrace it. I will hear their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. You ever go up into the mountains? I live in the foothills here of the Sierra Nevada, and they go up into the mountains, and it's green and it's lush, and the smells are beautiful. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's liking it to here. His branches shall spread, his beauty shall be as the olive tree, his smell as Lebanon. and speaking of the cedars of Lebanon, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They that dwell in the shadow of the Almighty shall return, and they shall receive the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do more with idols? Yes, what do I have to do with idolatry? I have learned, I have heard him, and I observed him. I am like the green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of Yahuwah are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. What more can I say? As always, in everything you say and do, Hallelujah.